Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Ephesians, chapter 4. We'll read verses 19 through 24 together. Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. We'll read this passage responsively. Ephesians 4, verses 19 through 24. Who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And let's pray. Father, once again we come to you and thank you for meeting with us. Oh, kind of a cold, icy, a little bit of snowy night, but yet your presence is here to warm us and to fill us. Father, please, we live in such a wicked generation and a wicked world. Father, please help us tonight as our preacher preaches to us. Clean our hearts and our minds so that we could go out and reach more people for you, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
The scripture that we just read, I want you to notice something. If you still have your Bible open to it, I'll point it out. If not, let me point something out. The Bible here uses the word lasciviousness. It uses the word uncleanness. He uses the word lusts. The Bible says of us Christians that we are to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. We're to put on the new man, which God created in righteousness and true holiness. I told you this morning, the sermon tonight is on the subject of pornography. I, in a way, am not shocked if the devil had any influence over this service tonight, he would have done what he could to keep people from hearing this sermon. So, attendance is down a bit tonight. I don't think that the devil has control over the weather, but I think the devil has the control so much over people's minds. I think he would prefer that there be some that not hear the sermon I'm about to preach. Pornography. I could call the sermon Writings About Harlots. And the reason why is the word pornography, it is actually two words joined together. Porno, that word means harlot or prostitutes. The word graphi or graphy is the words writings or printings or images. So pornography's definition is writings or printings about whores, harlots, or prostitutes, whether they be male or female. Pornography actually would have started out as writings about prostitutes, and then later on they added the illustrations and the pictures. It's a tool of the devil. He uses it to arouse the sex drive, which eventually overcomes the desire to do right and results in lewd perversion and a variety of abnormal relationships. You say, Brother Owens, well, what's normal? One man, one woman, married for a lifetime. That was God's original intent. Let me tell you a little bit about the pornography industry. Let me tell you about the revenues or the money part of it. In one year, worldwide, pornography earns $57 billion. Here in America, the revenues of pornography is $12 billion per year. The adult video section of it is a $20 billion a year business. Escort services is $11 billion a year. Their magazines bring in $7.5 billion a year. Their sex clubs bring in $5 billion a year. Their phone sex brings in $4.5 billion a year. Their cable and pay-per-view television brings in $2.5 billion. The internet, $2.5 billion. CD-ROM, $1.5 billion. Porn revenue is larger than all the combined revenues of the professional football, baseball, and basketball franchises for a year. United States porn revenue exceeds the combined revenues of ABC, CBS, and NBC. Those three networks only earn $6.2 billion a year. The porn industry makes $12 billion a year in the United States of America. You understand that? Pornography is stronger than NBC, ABC, CBS in regard to revenues in America. Child pornography generates $3 billion of income annually. Let's talk about the internet pornography statistics. Pornographic websites in America, or maybe this across the world, but pornographic websites, there are 4.2 million of them, and we're talking about the internet. That's 12% of all websites. The number of pornographic pages on the web are 372 million. The daily pornographic search engine request is at 68 million. That's 25% of all the total search engine requests. Daily pornographic emails are at 2.5 billion. That's 8% of all emails that are generated. Daily child pornography requests is at 116,000 requests a day for child pornography. Websites offering illegal child pornography, there seem to be 100,000 of them. Worldwide visitors to pornographic websites is at 72 million annually. Then, how about child internet pornography statistics? The average age of the first internet exposure to pornography is 11 years old. That's because children are on the internet. The largest consumers of internet pornography are kids between 12 and 17. That's more than adults. 90% of 8 through 16 year olds have viewed porn online. If they go online, 9 out of 10 of them have had some pornography exposure. They were going to do their homework. Adult internet pornography statistics. U.S. adults who regularly visit the internet pornography websites is at 40 million per year. How about women and pornography? Some tend to think that pornography is only an addiction or a sin of a man, and that is far from the truth. Women favor chat rooms 2 times more than men. Men want to look at the pictures, the women want to hear the talk. 1 of 3 visitors to all adult websites are women. The adult bookstores in America, and when we call them adult bookstores, we're talking about pervert bookstores.
Right.
In America, outnumber McDonald's restaurants 3 to 1. There are different types of pornographic materials. There's the porno magazines, things like Hustler and Playboy, Playgirl, Penthouse, Family Affairs, Gallery, Genesis, and there are virtually thousands of them that may not have a nationally marketed name. There's the porno novels, the romance novels. They provide the words while your mind paints the pictures. They're the porno films. They used to call them stag films. That's because men would sneak off alone to watch them. They called them X, double X, and triple X. Now they consider them adult films. I consider them adult filth. Shown at theaters and small booths in filthy theaters. There's porno videos, or now becoming DVDs very quickly. They're everywhere. 25% of all video sales in the United States of America is pornographic. That means 25 out of every 100 DVDs sold in America is a pornographic DVD. They're purchased through the mail for the sake of privacy. There's TV porn, the television, the Playboy channel, Penthouse Entertainment Network. I cannot believe. Now, I have never seen one of those channels, but when I found out that you could actually pay to have pornography through the Playboy channel and this kind of junk come into your home, I couldn't believe that. I just couldn't believe that America had come to the point where we'd actually put on the network the availability of that kind of trash through the television. R-rated shows and some pornography. You see, you say, well, they said it's R-rated. Do you know who rated it? The perverts of Hollywood did some of the rating. I'd be real careful when they say, well, it can't be that bad. It's R-rated. The R-rated of today was the X-rated of 50 years ago. You can get your HBO and watch all sorts of illicit immorality. pay-per-view in hotels. This is not my statistic. I looked it up on the internet. They said there was a Promise Keepers convention at a big hotel. 65% of the men that were in that hotel purchased pay-per-view pornography. So they say this is just a problem for the wicked drunks and druggies of the world. No, I'm sorry. This is just a problem. There's what they call teleporn. The word telephone there. Phone sex. 1-900 sex calls. Children across America are getting these numbers and calling them at 8 and 9 years of age. It's weird. You're seeing reports now across America where 9-year-olds are raping. Why? What kind of filth that they're into? Teleporn. Well, calls for men to men so they can talk about sodomy, and women to women, and whoremonger to whoremonger. There's a thing called kiddie porn. Somewhere near 5,000 people are reported missing. Children are reported missing somewhere in this world every day. Many are kidnapped to be used in a child sex market. One type of kiddie porn is called snuff porn. Snuff porn, the term comes from the old gangster days. That language of the old gangsters. We're going to snuff them out, Bugsy. See, we're going to get them. We'll snuff them out. And what is it? They kidnap a child. The kidnapped child is placed on the black market. That child, during one of these perverted acts, is actually killed on film. There are people that buy it up because the reality adds excitement to the perversion of the mind of these weirdos. And no wonder. In this society, we have the weird demonic people like a Jeffrey Dahmer who kidnaps young boys and then abuses them, then puts them in the fridge and eats them. You take a perverted society that does this kind of trash, you're going to have perverted people. America has taken a freedom that was given to them in the Constitution and allowed it to become abusive. Sure, we have the freedom of the press, but we never intended that it be this kind of filth. Never did. You can't convince me that a nation that had one nation under God, that placed their hand on their heart and pled allegiance to God in that flag, ever intended for this kind of trash to be included in the freedom of what we print. Hey, they print kiddie porn books. One entitled Lollytots instead of Lollipops. One called the Muppets instead of Muppets. And they have Play Babies instead of Playboy. There's porn on the internet. They call it cyber porn. And that's a sad, sad thing because there are people under the sound of my voice, whether it be in this auditorium or on CD or on our that come to our website and listen to this. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You looked at it this week. There's the audio porn. That's dial-a-porn, the telephone calls. Now, what are the characteristics of this filthy, vile industry? Well, first of all, vulgar language is one of the characteristics. Filthy language, cursing, sewer talk, words that fit together to form nasty thoughts that produce dirty minds that puke out vile behavior. Pornography, what is it? It's writings about prostitutes. It does not always have to have pictures, but the words help the mind to form the pictures. But what's a characteristic? Vulgar language. What's a characteristic? Obscene violence. Folks, rape is sin. We should not be watching rape on TV as entertainment. There's nothing entertaining about it. Nothing. It's not a willing act. It is violent. It is wrong. And it is sinful. It's a result of an animal that does not have the character to earn the right to a woman, so steals it. And I think the Bible teaches that an animal should face the death penalty. If you knew the pain that is caused because of a rape, you would never think it entertainment again. Obscene violence is a part of pornography. The abuse of people is a part of pornography. After getting involved in pornography, you'll lose your own self-respect. You'll lose your own dignity. And you're going to find this out. You're going to find out it doesn't help your relationships. It hurts your relationships. But pornography is the abuse of mankind. It's the abuse of a body that God gave, and that is a holy body, and it is a precious body, and it's not to be flaunted for all society to see. What are the characteristics of pornography? Vulgar language, obscene violence, the abuse of people. And then, inside the realm of pornography, you'll find the ridicule of pure religion. Pornography tells jokes within itself about religion. Just like we'd tell a blonde joke, they tell religion jokes, preacher jokes. They mock God. They make the preachers in their films seem like the perverts. It's an attack on the family. It's an attack on marriage. It's an attack on the church. It's an attack on purity. I read somewhere that Hugh Hefner often will write little quips about religion and his filth. That's sad. In pornography, they often depict Catholic priests with little boys. Let me tell you something. Any man in the ministry that has an attraction to little boys and little girls needs to get out of the ministry. There are books. I've seen the title of a book that's called, it's about lesbian nuns. It was called We Sisters. A porn book entitled Genesis. Now, wait a minute. Why would they name a pornographic book after the first book in the Bible? Books named Adam and Eve. What right do they have to take the story of Adam and Eve and dare compare it to the filth of the devil?
Right.
What are the characteristics? Another characteristic is this. Pornography promotes crime, and it produces crime. Our newspapers and our newscasts are filled today with crimes that are the result of the influence of pornography. Daycare, child molestations. Listen, for the next news flash, you'll hear something. Read the story of a 47-year-old man by the name of Charles Raymer of Hopkinsville, Kentucky. He sexually abused a 2-year-old boy. He was arrested, incarcerated, let out early for good behavior, 4 weeks later, abducted and abused a 4-year-old boy. 77% of child molesters who molest boys say they were reproducing a scene from a pornographic film. 87% of those who molest little girls say they've seen it on a pornographic film. 57% of rapists say, I get the idea or I got the idea from pornography or by watching television. There are people in this room that are victims of pornography. Somebody hurt you as a result of it, or it is the result of filth, sin. Pornography then distorts and belittles women. A woman was created by God. She was created to be respected. She was created to be treated with dignity, not to be checked out from top to bottom. And let's make it so that there is a place in this area where a woman can come to church without feeling she's being checked out. Let's make it so we don't have to worry about someone examining the women up and down. Men, keep your eyes to yourself. You want to look at a woman, you look at your wife. You look at your wife. Keep your eyes off of somebody else's wife. Keep your eyes off of somebody else's daughter. That's wrong. It's sinful. It ought to be that the church of God, that it is, there's purity and morality and decency. And we ought to be able to bring our wives and our daughters to a place like this and feel safe and unthreatened. A woman is not a sex object. A woman's body is to be holy and seen only by her husband. And a woman, she'd see only her husband's body. Women are not to be used, and they're not to... And women, you're not to use your body as a promotional item for perversion. You better be careful, honey. You go uncovering that thing and flaunting it, you might attract flies. You might be sorry you attracted what you attracted. Keep your body covered up. You be modest. You be decent. You be clean. People don't need to see your bosom. They don't need to see your thighs. They don't need to see you half undressed. That's one reason why I preach against the beaches. Somehow we think it's okay to strip down to underwear-like clothing and go out in public. Though you wouldn't do it anywhere else, but you can get some water and some sand, and it's okay to run around in your underwear. It is not okay. It is not okay. It is not okay. It doesn't matter to me if everybody else in the panhandle is afraid to say that. It's right. It's true. We shouldn't be promoting that. What are the characteristics of pornography? Pornography has vulgar language. Pornography has obscene violence. Pornography is the abuse of people. It ridicules pure religion. It promotes crime and produces crime. Pornography distorts and belittles women. Pornography teaches about lust, not love. Pornography doesn't teach about good marriages. Pornography does not teach about the wholesomeness of the home. It does not teach good children and how to rear good children. Pornography does not promote virginity. Pornography does not promote self-control. Pornography does not promote purity. Pornography does not promote holiness. It promotes adultery and fornication and filth and lasciviousness and lust. And that's wrong. It's wrong. They want to call it lovemaking. It's lust making. It is as far removed from love as I am from being passive. Lust is selfish. Love is unselfish. Pornography teaches lust, not love. What's a characteristic of pornography? Pornography, it's everywhere. It just seems to get everywhere. It's on our televisions. It's in our books. It's on the telephone. It's in films and DVDs. It's in clothing catalogs. Might I say, you ought to be very careful with the catalogs in your home with your children. I'll tell you something, and you're going to think I'm weird, and you're going to think, oh, there he goes again, old-fashioned. When we got the Sears and Roebuck catalog, the first thing we did was take all the nudity out of it so our boys and girls in our house could not look at those pages. You say, well, kids would never. I've got news for you. It's everywhere. The catalogs that are distributed by the lingerie companies of our day would have been illegal 100 years ago. They would have been opposed and fought. Now they're acceptable. Well, they're not totally naked. You better check and see what the Bible says nakedness is. You don't have to be totally in the buff to be naked, according to the Bible. But you don't go by the Bible. You go by our world's philosophy. Pornography, it's in our music, it's on the internet, it's in the virtual reality sex experiences. What are the characteristics of pornography? Pornography promotes perversion, including sex tortures, mutilations, rapes, incest, lesbianism, sodomy of all sorts, bestiality, being intimate with dead bodies. It all starts, though, with the mind. It takes wicked words, then draws images, and then your mind begins to put it all together. They actually now have what they call virtual reality sex experiences. So what they do is they put a little helmet, and it shows a film into your eyes and pumps the sound into your ears, and it takes over the mind to the point that you feel like you are actually experiencing the relationship. We're having sex with machines. We're getting weird, folks. Getting weird. What happens? What happens? Pornography produces problems for our society. Venereal disease, divorce, adultery, sodomy, rape, homeless children, crime, kidnapping, AIDS. Somebody will go to hell because of pornography, you can be sure. The abuse of wives, the abuse of husbands. And let me say this, rock and roll is porno music. It's music for the flesh. It turns on the fleshly part of you. Do you understand the term rock and roll? You understand its origin? The term rock and roll was a ghetto expression for sex. Rock and roll. We're rocking and rolling. It's sex music. It's what it is. So what does the Bible say about this? I'm glad you asked. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 22 says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with it that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Here it says, flee the lust. Run from it. Run from it. Run, young man. Run, young lady. Run from an adult woman that's going on to a chat room and having a sexual conversation with someone, and you think it's okay because all you're using is words, and you'd never do it. You're already doing it. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Abstain from it. What's that mean? None of it. Again, he said, run and abstain. Push it as far away from you as you can get. James chapter 1, verse number 15. The Bible says this. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You're going to kill something. Your marriage, your mind, your morality, your spirituality. The Bible says here that lust, it may start out in the mind. But before long, what you put in your mind will come out in your hands. Matthew 5:28 says, but I say unto you, listen very carefully. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. When a man looks at a woman and he lusts after her, God said, in your heart, you committed adultery with her. Now, no, you did not do it physically, but God said, in the privacy of your heart and your mind, you did. Some of you Pharisees, that you know somebody that physically committed adultery, you're out to string them up and hang them. What about you? What about the tracks you have in your mind? What have you been doing in your mind that they've been doing in bed? But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her, he hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Romans chapter 1. Verse 24, 25, 26, and 27. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of the error which was meet. May I say something to you? I've been helping people with their problems for an awful, awful long time. My work is people work. You think somehow that every sodomite, and so you understand, and unless you've not caught it, sodomy sin. It is a sin to be a queer. It's wrong. You weren't born that way, and God doesn't want you that way. But sodomy sin. And we seem to think that a sodomite, they just grew up and it was some maybe some woman that was brought up in a masculine way, or some boy that was brought up in a feminine way, or whatever it was. And so this all turned into sodomy and they turned out to be a pervert. May I say to you that many times someone that gets into sodomy, they started out and they had all of the opposite sex they wanted. They were so loose and they were so free. So some man has had woman after woman after woman after woman, and he has such a passion now, and he's so controlled by his desire for sexual contact, he leaves women and he goes to men. Why? Because he's had all he wants. So I'd be real careful. You say, well, I'm straight. If you're hanky-panky and in this kind of perversion, you may find yourself going down a path you never dreamed. Because you keep on fulfilling fantasy after fantasy after fantasy after fantasy, it won't be long. You're going to be making something happen. And you're going to wake up and say, I can't believe I did that. And the devil will say, I can believe it. I've been setting you up for a long time for it. So what should we do? What should we do? Well, realize this. Number one, nobody starts out as a weird, unnatural porno addict. It all starts with a little. So those of you who say, well, I'm just looking at a little. Stop it now. Stop it now. It starts by a second look at that which is unholy. Starts out with a little. That's the way the devil always does it, folks. It's a little here and a little there, and then a little more, and then a little more. And before long, it's a lot. So number one, realize nobody starts out in it headlong. It's a little here and a little there. Number two, If you have controlled your lust thus far in life, don't quit. You young people that say, Brother Owens, I don't know anything about this, keep it that way. And there are some adults in here. You have spent your life and protected your mind and protected yourself and you have ran from it. God bless you. Don't turn back now. Just keep on doing right. To most, this message should be disgusting. But don't think you're above it. Flee youthful lust. Run from it. Abstain from it. Be afraid of it. And so, first of all, realize nobody starts out deep in it. They start out with a little here, a little there. Secondly, if you have controlled yourself thus far, thank God for it. Don't change. You know, I have a sermon that I've been preparing in my Bible. I don't know when. In the next 2 or 3 months, I'm sure the Lord will lead me to preach it. It's called Don't Start. It's too hard to stop. Don't start. Too hard to stop. There are some things in life that you're better off never starting, because you'll fight the war of your life trying to get yourself to stop it once you start it. And there are people in this building right now that can stand and testify if I'd let them, and they'd say, Brother Owens, this is one of them. Don't start. Be the battle of your lifetime trying to stop looking at this kind of filth. It is so controlling. Now, it can be stopped by the power of God. By doing right, it can be stopped. Don't anybody make you think you can't stop it. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. But don't start. Very hard to stop. Number three, if you'd have allowed lust to roam freely in the corridors of your heart and your mind, you've got to attack it. You've got to attack it. So what's already been done is done. Now let's fix it. I would memorize every scripture that you can find on the topic of lust, self-control, and holiness. Let's overcome the evil that you've placed in your mind with good. I would recommend that anybody that struggles with this, go to the CD order booklet that's back here on the back table. You ought to order. I preach 2 sermons. One on a Sunday morning, one on a Sunday night. The one on Sunday morning was called Fit for Battle. The one on Sunday night was called In the Battle. And I talked about how to control your mind, how to clean up your mind, and how the devil get your life by getting your mind. And you need to go back there. You need to order them and listen to it over and over and over and over again. How to reclaim your mind. The Bible says in Psalm 119:11, Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You need to memorize scripture and pack scripture into your heart and into your mind to help get it cleaned up. So what can we do? Well, we need to realize it starts out with just a little here and a little there. We need to realize that if we've not started it, don't start. We need to realize that if it's in our minds and we've already allowed it, we've got to attack it. We've got to attack it with the Word of God. Number four, if you need to, get help. Get to someone that can help you to overcome. Number five, if you have in your possession or if you have access to any pornography-related material, destroy it completely and immediately. Completely and immediately. If you have any lag time, if God convicts your heart after hearing this, like I said, on the website or in this church, if God convicts you and you say, I've got it, I've got to get rid of it, it's sin, it's wrong, any hesitation to destroy it, the devil knows you don't mean it. He just wants you to put a day delay. He wants you to put delay on that thing, so you can figure out a way to justify. You need to destroy it immediately. I'm talking about books. Destroy them. And don't just throw them in the trash. You probably ought to burn them. Why? So somebody else can't get a hold of it. DVDs, destroy them. Catalogs, destroy it. I'd get rid of your Sports Illustrated bathing suit edition. Somebody here needs to be calling the television store or whatever it's called where you buy cables. Now, I don't understand all that, but I don't know who you call. But there are people in here. You ought to be canceling some trash that you pipe into your house on the television. If it's wrong for people, if it's wrong for nudity, if it's wrong for adultery, and you're paying people to do it in your living room just because they're in a little, foot and a half square box, and you think it's okay. No, it's not okay. It's wrong. Let me say this. I don't want you to bring your stuff to the altar. I don't want it in this church. I don't want you to turn into any of my assistant pastors. No assistant pastor, you're not to accept any of that kind of trash. You burn it. You get rid of it. I don't want it given. I don't want it given to an assistant pastor or pastor of this church. You burn it. Get rid of it. Destroy it. Get it away from you. Right away. Don't hesitate. Then, don't associate with anybody who's involved in pornography. Don't associate. Don't do it. You stay away from it. When the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, I'm sure he's talking about sexual perversion. It's time for some of you young people to take a stand and to say to a friend, that's it. I'm not coming to your house anymore until you're done and you're right with God about this. I'll tell you why some of you boys have such bad attitudes. You're looking at things on the internet you shouldn't be on. Some of you parents have way too much trust in your kids. You're to protect your kids. Hey, if they climb over every fence that you put up, then they're being stupid and that's their problem. But how many fences have you put up? What are you really doing to protect them? Protect their minds. Protect them. And so, don't associate with anyone who's involved with pornography. Number next, beg God to help you have the mind of Christ. Beg God to help you to have the mind of Christ. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ is pure. The mind of Christ is holy. The mind of Christ, it's a very clean mind. Some of you need to, you need to clean up your mind. You need God to give you His mind. So take that verse, Philippians 2:5, and just beg God. Say, oh God, give me your mind. Give me your mind. Give me your mind. Give me your mind. You get God's mind, you'll be able to overcome this thing. And I realize this. I realize, look, we've had thousands of people saved at this church in the last 4.5 years. Many of you say, Brother Owens, I got into this when I was young, and it still haunts me. I got saved later on in life, and oh, I wish I could reclaim my mind. The filth and the dirt sit there. Hey, you keep working at it. You can do this. You can do this. You can clean your life up. But you're going to have to attack it. You can't be a pacifist and overcome this sin. You got to mean it. You got to get away from it and run from it and flee from it and abstain from it and destroy it and stay away from anybody that's involved in it. It's just like drugs. You want to get away from drugs? You have to get away from the drugs.
Right.
Far away from the drugs. Have nothing to do with it. Don't associate with it at all. Any of the culture. Reclaim your mind. Number 8. This is the last thing I'll say this evening. Make a covenant with your eyes. Whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, whether you're young or whether you're old, you ought to make a covenant with your eyes. What is that? It's a promise. Job 31:1 says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Job said, I told my eyes what they were going to look at. We made a promise to one another. He said, why then should I think upon a maid? Look. If you don't look, you're going to have a hard time thinking. And you need to make a promise. Your mind and your eyes need to make a promise. And your eyes need to say to your mind, I'm not looking. And the mind needs to say to the eyes, I'm not thinking. We've got to work on this. And you need to fight it and not give in to it. You know, the lust, the Bible says, will destroy you. If something accidentally flashes before your eyes that you should not see, you may not be able to keep from seeing it the first time, but you dead can make sure that you don't look a second time. I heard someone say, you can't keep a bird from landing on your head, but you can stop him from building a nest there.
Right.
Say it was an accident. It flashed up on the screen. Well, then flash it off.
Amen.
And get away from it. And don't go back to it. I'll tell you something. And you're going to think this is too strong. Pornography is in it. I've watched men. It's like heroin.
Yes, sir.
They just go back and go back and go back. You say, well, I'm not a drug addict. What kind of addict are you? Are you a porno addict? God could deliver your soul from hell. He can deliver you from this. But you're going to have to do something about it. You're going to have to quit justifying it. You're going to have to quit saying, well, I seen it when I was a kid and I just can't get over it. Yes, you can. We end every service around here singing, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. Wait a minute. You believe it? You believe you can have victory? Well, if he took the maniac of Gadara and could do what he did with him, I think God could clean you up too. Pornography. What is it? Porno means harlots or prostitutes. Graphi or graphy. Writings, printings, or images. Pornography is writings and printings about whores, harlots, and prostitutes. If I went through all the scripture in the Bible that tells you about prostitutes, if I went through all the scripture that talks about nudity and lasciviousness, you'd be amazed at how bad it is. Say, well, what about the drives and the passions that I have? Oh, your God's a good God. He has supplied to meet that need. He said two people, after they are married, may come together physically and do as they will with one another. But anything outside of that is wicked, sinful, and vile. Two people that are not married together are not to, they're not to be arousing one another. They're not to be having any type of a sexual relationship. At all. At all. Say, but I'm single and I'm all alone. The only answer is getting married. But God has provided in marriage for that satisfaction. Young people, you wait until you're married. Those of you that are married, only inside your marriage. God has not forsaken us. God knows. He created our bodies. He knows what we're capable of. And if He commands that we be pure and wholesome and control ourselves, that means He gave within each one of us a mechanism that makes us able to do what He commanded. And let's make sure that we're careful. Let's not let this thing destroy us, our church, or our children. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We'll have an altar call this evening. It may be that some people ought to come and just pray. You've never gotten into this. You ought to pray, say, God, strengthen me that I never do. Maybe somebody ought to come and say, I want to protect my children. We'll have a quick altar call. It won't last long. If you're here tonight, you've never been saved, why don't you trust Christ? If you've been saved and never made it public, why don't you come and let us tell the people? If you've been saved and never been baptized, why don't you follow the Lord in believers' baptism tonight? There might be somebody here tonight that God's really spoken to you. It might be time for you to walk the aisle. I don't need you to make public that you're giving it up. I really don't. I don't even want you to. I think it'd be better that you not. But I do think you ought to walk the aisle, come down here, and make it public to God. Come down here and say, Father, I'm making a covenant with my eyes, and I'm going to get some things right. No matter where you are in this auditorium, if you need this altar. Some of you that are in the chat rooms, and you are writing and saying things you should never be saying. And remember, they say the women are the ones that are going to the chat rooms. They're looking for fulfillment. They don't even need the pictures. They'll just take the words. They want to be intimate with somebody. In that chat room, over the phone. If you need the altar, it will be open. Hey, somebody coming to this altar does not mean they're having a problem with pornography. It might mean that they're coming tonight to ask God to keep them pure and keep them clean and keep them safe. Well, God bless them for doing that. I'll ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's